Welcome to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners, a podcast where we share resources, thoughts, and opinions on all things creative leadership. Thanks for joining this week's check-in, which kicks off with a quick huddle, then moves into the review, then the highlights, and ends with the high five.
Wait, so people are burning down Teslas?
Well, I've burned down four. Are you telling me you haven't burned down any?
You sure you want to put that on recording?
Yeah. No, how have you not seen this? Like,
I mean, I know that there have been, I drove by a Tesla dealership here a couple weeks ago and there was like three people outside picketing, but I haven't seen anything violent. I'm also steering clear of the news these days. I'm over it, man.
Dude, there's Molotov cocktails.
Great.
Yeah. If you drive a Tesla, watch your butt.
I mean, I've been giving people the finger who are driving Cybertruck douchebags. I've been giving them the finger for, I don't know, months, but
there's a Cybertruck here in Tacoma that's wrapped, and it's for a company that sells Medicaid consulting, which I find like, what?
Yeah. So random. Oh, so random. Anyway, let's get into the huddle. What's top of mind for you this week that is not politically minded or Tesla related? Are both similarly related at this point. Anyway, yeah, what's up?
I've been thinking about our Team Eagle diagnostic, and you know, that was the core, like the impetus of everything that we've done Team Angle. And just thinking about right now, it's a very hands-on process, and actually turning that into how can people actually just go initiate this? Because honestly, especially and we're going to talk about this, like leaders and teams, how do you know where you are if you don't know, how do you know where you're going if you don't know where you are? In other words, right?
Right.
And just how important it is just even just have that baseline data and how many teams you and I both know, even leaders that they don't, or they have a false sense of where they are.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah, that's been top of mind for me.
Cool.
What about
for
you?
For me, well, you wrote an article a couple of weeks ago about like building up new networks, right?
Yeah.
And so an old colleague had reached out to me like, are you going to go to this event in our city? And I was like, no, I'm actually not. I'm building up new networks. I'm finding new places to meet people professionally and do things that are not so insular or relying on things from the past. So I've been thinking a lot about that and being choosy about where I want to go and where I want to invest my time and like the kinds of people I want to meet, which is interesting because I never thought like that before.
To me, it reminds me of, I don't know about you, but I've never been to a high school or college reunion. Because it's like, that just seems like living in the past. So
yeah. Exactly.
Good on you. Good on you, bruv.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah. Well, let's head into this week's review. We've got, I can't wait for the Q&A session. This week we had two Team Angle articles on culture, why innovation thrives in flexible culture. Very true. And why creativity thrives on collaboration. Also very true. So, key topics, especially as it pertains to culture. This week you wrote, leadership advice is broken. It's not about you. It's about them. Which was a really interesting perspective and some good thoughts you bring up in that article, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But will you give our listeners an introduction into, the piece you wrote and some of the backstory there?
Yeah, I want to talk about why I wrote this. I mean, like, it kind of came up to me out of nowhere last week, and I just sat down and like poured my thoughts out quickly. And I know this is a weird topic because, of course, leadership training is about the leader, right? It's about building better behaviors, making stronger decisions, adopting best practices, like all of that good stuff. And all of that stuff makes sense. And I think people need to learn that. I think what I'm saying is I don't see enough leadership training that actually focuses on teams. So much of the advice out there is about how leaders can develop their confidence, strengthen their presence, or like command a room, you know, or like command respect. But I think what happens when leaders become so focused on their own power and their own control is that like they don't realize that they're actually getting it wrong. Right. So I feel like I've been seeing it play out in little kind of corners of my world, like a few passive aggressive comments on TikTok posts that I've made, because we're always talking from like a human centered place. Right. Some leaders in Slack community discussions I've seen for sure that are like so focused on themselves, like they're not thinking about other people. And even just like conversations with frustrated teams, right? Like leaders who are rigid, who struggle to adapt to people and situations, who think their job is just to manage rather than lead, are the problem here that I'm talking about. And one kind of example to tie this all together before we get into a Q&A, because I've had a lot of time to think about this since I wrote it last week. Do you remember we recorded Sprints and Milestones season two? We talked to Galen Lowe from the Digital Project Manager.
You remember that well.
We talked about leadership styles in that conversation. He shared how he once kind of believed that leadership was really all about command and control until he learned the hard way that it's not, right? And that's the issue that I'm talking about. He was a young leader then. He had to learn the hard way. He went into this thinking like, we manage people. I make them get things done. I crack the whip, you know, and like that is not the way that works, right? So we need to evolve the way that we train leaders. Leadership needs to be human-centered or it doesn't work. That's really what I'm saying here.
Well, I want to add is he himself, without any provocation, he labeled himself as a toxic leader.
He did.
Right. Like those words just came out of the blue and he was spot on. Like it was incredible, very insightful thought. You know, I'm losing the word I'm really trying to say here, but
he was self-aware. Very
self-aware. Yep. But I think how many times have you heard of or I just even read where some leadership forum, somebody said that a leader took EDM or some kind of mind-altering drug, and they realized
EDM is a kind of music.
Well, I thought there was some DMA. I don't know.
He took EDM. Okay. Anyway, go.
Well, that's what I thought. Anyway, but the point being taking that drug made him aware that other people have feelings, and I read that and it's like, what, really? But then I do think back to a leadership thing I took while I was at Envision. And there were several people in the room who they always think about them. They never like the big outcome from that 2-day leadership thing we did was I never thought to talk to my people, you know, like what's going on in their world. It boggles my mind.
I have thoughts. Like, I think part of it is we are trained to get into a career and want to climb the ladder of the career, and being a leader or manager or CEO is like the pinnacle, right? So there's this idea that like I'm working on me and my career to get where I want to go. But then the thing is like once you get there, you need to realize it's not all about you, right? It's actually been about how you work with everyone all along, because the people who get elevated into those leadership roles are generally the people who are good at the job, but people who are good at the job typically know how to work with other people. But for some reason, I don't know if it's like a marketing thing, if it's an ego thing, like I don't know what it is, but why do you think so much leadership advice centers around the leader rather than the impact the leader can have on people?
I'm putting my marketing hat on because they're the ones that are going to buy the book.
Yeah, right.
Or read the article, right? Like how many times, think about when you were on a team and maybe not the leader or the top leader, how many times did you read something and say, hey, my boss needs to read this because they're a complete jerk, right? It's like, how do you wrap that up and say, here, this is for you?
It's
so I think it's because, and some of the marketing advice that we've been given, and we have to appeal to the people that are going to buy the thing. and the team's not going to buy it and say, hey,
well,
Merry
that's
Christmas.
The funny thing, right? Here it's like, go. That's like, maybe I'm like, maybe that's what got me thinking about this, because we really are with Team Angle. We, in everything that we're doing, we're writing about considering the whole team, leadership as a part of the team. Right? Like, and like things that leaders can do to build better teams. Like the focus is on the people. It's not just on the leader. Of course, there's some behavioral stuff in there, you know, but it's also general enough for anyone who's going to step into a leader role, because we're teaching you how to be a good teammate.
I think
being a good teammate helps you to be a good leader.
This is a good reminder of our perspective is not shared by a lot of folks because it's not taught, because they haven't seen that example themselves. But I think you and I both come from a similar place of, my job as a leader is to get everybody to the next level, right? Not just me. That's just me using people to get to the next level. But if you really are a leader, of one of good quality, you think of yourself last. You're thinking about, how do I get other people to improve, evolve, do better, be better, right? And if
when should I step in? When do they need right. my help? When right. can I actually pitch in and do a thing, because I've been doing all those things all along and I'm good at them?
To let them fail. Right. To know.
Right.
Nope. So,
trust
yeah,
them.
It really is about, and it's not people management per se. It's
ego management.
Well, yeah. Yep.
To a degree. Yeah. To a degree.
But I think
so
about,
here's
you know,
the thing. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, you managed that, or you talked about, you know, the leaders who think, you're like, I'm the leader. I tell you what to do. You just simply do it. And I came across that in a very small company that I led not too long ago. And one of the directors was just, you know, not in a good mood. Talked to him. It's like, what do you want? He's like, what I want is autonomy. I once had that, you know, where I'm the one that called the shots and I decided what to do. And I gave everybody direction. And I really liked that. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you are about as shallow as they come. Right. Like that's go be a freelancer, because that's not leadership. But I also remember hearing from some very close people, good people that I trust, about a very popular design leader who on the outside, you know, in thought leadership came across as like this benevolent, human centered, very kind person, but heard that working with them was the exact opposite. You know, it was, and we've had clients like this, I don't want to collaborate with you. Just do as I say.
Yeah, just do it. Right.
Right. Right. Just right. You're the maker. I'm the decider here. Right. It's just like, nobody wants that. Nobody.
No, of course not. Of course not. So we're talking about like this. No, you're good. We're talking about kind of like ego, essentially in leadership. But there is this idea that like self-improvement and growth and learning practices, like I'm not saying any of that is bad, but I think there has to be a balance, right? Like how does a leader balance that self-improvement and that ego-driven desire to like continue to advance in the career with actually being genuinely team-oriented? Like, can you grow as a leader without making it all about you?
Well, yeah. And I'll go back to Galen Lowe. You know, I see elements of him now that are much more aware of, you know, what a leader isn't. Mm-hmm. Right. And he kind of had that path of self-discovery, and he had the emotional intelligence, you know, the ability to turn the signals into, this is not working. And right. found a better path. So you made the comment about ego. I think it's like ego plus self-awareness, or just right. even awareness in particular, right? And empathy. So, and that gets me into, there's a mechanical side here to know if you're doing your job right. And I think is the one is, are you practicing empathy? Do you even know what the hell that word means? And are you practicing it? Which goes into number two, which is, are you talking to each of your team members individually on a mm-hmm. consistent basis? And I think if you're doing those two things, like that's the baby step. But if you're not doing those two things, then you're not human centered. You're not people oriented. You're not being a team leader, just being a jerk.
Yeah.
Though, if you go through those two steps and you're not picking up some signals on how you can improve, go consult a physician or something. I don't know how to help you.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think to me, it's about intent, right? Like self-improvement is always going to be necessary for all of us. But I think the why matters, right? So it's like, are you improving to become more effective for your team? Or are you improving just to like advance your career, right? It's like actions speak louder than words, really. And I think leaders who grow in their service to their team, and I think the way that you do that basically is through communications. It's through listening and then acting based on what you're hearing, like actively listening and supporting. Like that's how you become more impactful as a leader.
But I want to add a caveat here, or like, but you can't do those things and say, then make it about you, right? And we've seen that. We've had an example of this too. Turns out I'm a bad leader. You know, tell me what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah.
Right. And then make it about me. Here's how bad I am. Oh, feel sorry for me.
Well, that's a perfect segue to my next question, because I feel like it's like the leader that asks, like, what do I need to do to be a great leader? Right. Versus what does my team need to succeed? Right.
Like, yeah.
How do you get someone to make the shift from being the me first mindset to the team first mindset?
Yeah. I think, again, it goes back to some mechanics. Your number one job as a leader, first and foremost, is to be there at a level that they can't be or they shouldn't be to remove blockers, to enable them to do their job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you're a manager or you're a director, or you're a VP. That's not even table stakes. That's primary. That's core to your how you should be measured for success. And then the second is, what do we need to do improve both you and me, so that we're connecting, we're communicating, and we're collaborating better, right? Yeah. So not making it on one side, but because it can't just be on one side, right? I don't believe that you can just have an absolute bad leader. A team takes two, so there's got to be some glue in there. And what's the kind of glue that we need?
Yeah. Now you brought up kind of like skills and measuring, like a goal, maybe not goals, but I think what I want to talk about is skills. Like, what are the skills that a leader should focus on developing if they're in this state of recognizing it's not just about them, it's about the team? Like, what are those areas?
Empathy, emotional intelligence, reflection.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Being able to, you know, not just talk, and not just listen, but think about it. So thinking, I think there's awareness. I don't know that might not be the right word, but observation.
Yeah. I would add maybe accountability.
Yep.
Because I think leaders who take the approach of like not thinking about the team or thinking that the team are at their command aren't really accountable for their actions always. I think adaptability also. I think everyone right now should be in a state of, how do I be more adaptable in my day-to-day at work? But I think a good leader is adaptable based on the people or the situations that they're in. But yeah, I think the main one that you mentioned is empathy and emotional intelligence for sure.
Yeah. I'd put the adaptability though, because and to your point, so much is in change right now, and you can use systems and frameworks, you know, to get through situations, but rigid frameworks and systems, not in the kind of work that you and I do.
I don't think any book is going to help you get through what's happening in a lot of companies right now. I don't think, obviously no framework will, but, I think that it's a really interesting conversation. I'm glad that I brought this up, because after I wrote it, I was kind of like, this is kind of stupid. But I do think there's a point in that, we need leaders to learn more about how to empower teams. That's really what it comes down to. And I think leaders should be accountable to the actual performance of their team and how their team are doing on an individual basis.
The last thought I'd have to that is the benefits of this. Right. Because it's a lot of like you should. And the why right. for leaders is you're going to get an immeasurable amount of loyalty by doing these things.
It's true.
Right. I have a lot of people in my network that will take my call, that will, you know, do something, do a favor for me, or just even have that conversation because they appreciate. And I say this because it's what they've told me. They appreciate what I did for them or how we worked together. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's you can't buy loyalty and you can't command it. I've worked for people who've tried to command loyalty and it doesn't work. So happy life through loyalty.
Awesome. All right. Happy life through loyalty. That's going to show up in the newsletter somewhere this week. All right. Let's get into our next segment, the ask. What are we asking for this week?
So we're once again reminding everybody that we have an award-winning newsletter called Field Report. We know it's we won an award because we made it up ourselves. High five. But I'm liking it. I like the – if you haven't seen it yet, we've got those five questions. And Brett, you've been kicking us off with some – amazing people to answer some of these questions about leadership too.
Yeah.
I love that one about, you know, what do you think of leadership now versus 5 years ago? Such a great question. And I can't wait till we can look back and have like 50 of those answers. Right.
I know.
It's really good. So if you're not subscribed and if everybody, you know, isn't subscribed, like this should be like call people. Hey, you've got to subscribe to this newsletter. It's that great. All right, let's get into the fun part here, the hit list. What are you? Looks like we're listening, reading, and watching this week. So what's first on your list?
Yeah, just the song Haim, the band Haim, Three Sisters. They came out with a new song called Relationships. So I've been listening to that without overdoing it.
Overdoing it
as I do. Like I'll put a song on repeat if I'm really into it. It's not a repeat song, but
yeah. Okay. Do not repeat. Okay. Mine is I was going back and thinking, you know, I haven't listened to Beck in a long time.
Oh, same.
And it's like 5 years since his last album. It's like, what's up, Beck? Anyway, I pulled up Colors. And just, I haven't listened to that in years. It's such a good album.
That sounds good. That was that the Grammy Award winner, Colors?
I don't know, but I would not be surprised.
I think Morning something was. Anyway, my next up is reading. So Matthew Fox from the Digital PM shared this link to the Rotman Management magazine. So I started checking that out. We recorded a panel on AI and project management this week. So it kind of came up that way.
So what is it about? So is it like an entire issue of the magazine?
It is. Yeah. It's an online magazine.
Okay. All right.
It's cool. Check it out.
Okay. My next is watching. I've been collecting Criterion Collection editions of movies and Michael Mann's debut, cinematic directorial debut, Thief with James Caan came up. It was from 1981. And if you've ever watched Miami Vice, this is like where his style starts. And I love it. As an 80s kid, just love it.
Amazing. If you haven't watched Miami Vice, you need to.
Yes.
All right. My last one is watching, and it's not even a show. It's a meme, or memes, I should say. So okay. White Lotus episode 4, there's a really standout scene in that with Sam Rockwell where he kind of goes this monologue on like what he's doing, and now there are tons of memes about it, so I'll link to one of them in this. Okay. But that combines the song Relationships with the scene, so
okay,
that's kind of funny.
I was not expecting that little monologue that he gave. No, it was
not
like
at all.
What? Such a Sam Rockwell thing to do.
Yeah.
My last one is writing, and this week I in response to, was inspired by an article by John Gruber. But my piece is called "We Need Better Assholes," meaning we already have them. They're always going to be here. We just need better ones that have mercilessly enabled us in the past. So it was nice to get my feelings out on that.
Alrighty. What are we high-fiving this week? We didn't decide yet. We're doing it live.
You know, we're doing a lot of work on our marketing, which is we've kind of been warping our brains around how marketing works, right? And I think too, it's been funny. We've been kind of kicking along the way like a kid, like no.
I know. Yeah, we're like resisting things, and we're annoying. We're annoying clients.
Yeah. But we came to a good place of just like, all right, fine, just do whatever you need.
Yeah, I finally was like, I just want that person to do that thing and do it the way that they say to do it, because I just want to listen to somebody now.
Yeah.
So high five to giving in to smart people, because they know what they're doing. I don't.
Exactly. Yeah. High five.
High five to that.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly High Five. Like what you're hearing? Visit sameteampartners.com to schedule a free consultation with Brett and Greg. Also, follow or subscribe to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners. Share this episode with your network and submit a review. Thank you.